Well, each of you guys have talked about one of your favorite things about the Christmas season, and I'm just being really honest. One of the things I most love is Christmas movies. Not Hallmark, I can't stand the Hallmark movies, but the Christmas movies, whether it's Home Alone 2, which is probably my all-time favorite, or Christmas Carol, which is right up there, to this one that I really love, but nobody else in my family loves, and it's the movie A Christmas Story. Have you guys seen it? It's about a little boy named Ralphie, and Ralphie desperately wants a Red Ryder BB gun. It's his main wish, the popular toy of the day, and he begins to ask his parents, and then he goes to Santa Claus, because if his parents are going to buy it for him, he figures Santa's got to do it. And everybody he talks to, they keep telling him, you're going to shoot your eye out. And the response of what they think's going to happen to him lets him know that they're not eager for him to get this gift. Well, Christmas Day arrives after he has told people for days that this is the thing he most wants. And as he gets all excited and gathers around the tree with his family, gift after gift is opened, and each gift he's super anticipatory of it being the Red Ryder BB gun. And he gets to the last gift, and he realizes he's not getting this BB gun. And you can see the unbelievable disappointment on his face. Like, he is just leveled, because he's been wanting this more than anything in the world, and great disappointment just covers him. It's just so demonstrative. Well, a few seconds later, his dad says, oh, hey, Ralphie, we have one more gift. I don't know where this one was. And he pulls out this gift and he hands it to Ralphie. And Ralphie opens the gift, and sure enough, it's the Red Ryder BB gun. And the disappointment is completely removed from his face. I won't go on and tell you the rest of the story. Some of you have seen it, but it's well worth the watch. But one of the things I've been thinking about is that sometimes at Christmas we get disappointed. We don't get the gift that we want, or maybe it's the wrong size. You know, the worst thing, Steve, is when you buy your wife something that's a couple sizes too big. I mean, that is not just a disappointment for your spouse. It's a disappointment for everybody. But we get disappointed because we were anticipating something that we didn't get, or maybe we got something that was inferior to what we were hoping for. Life really is full of disappointments. We've all hoped for something only to get less than what we hope for. Whenever our expectations are unfulfilled, we are left with disappointments. This brings us to our scripture today, which is found in Jeremiah. And let me just tee it up with this. During the time that Jeremiah the prophet is sharing to the people of Israel, Judah is under a wicked king named Jehoiakim. And he is characterized as the very worst of Israel's or Judah's kings, the most ungodly in its entire history. The nation had experienced godly leaders, and from people like Josiah, and they went through godly leaders, and then they've had some ungodly leaders, and ultimately, they would be under Jehoiakim's leadership, which would place them under the attack of the enemy, because God had pulled back his blessings. Each of the people within Judah expected a godly leader, and yet there would be moments of disappointment as both the ungodly and even the godly would lead them in ways that God didn't want, and they faced disappointments. Which brings us to our text in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23 verses 5 to 6 says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior." Okay, so I haven't read the entire passage, but if you go to the beginning of this chapter, Jeremiah starts to talk about how the leaders had led the people of Judah in a wrong way. He calls them bad shepherds, and he talks about how this leadership season had just been such a disappointment to everybody. And then he promises that God's going to raise up some godly leaders in the future, but they'll still disappoint. And then he points in verse 5 and 6 to the ultimate, the Messiah who would come. And this would be the one leader who would not be a disappointment to Judah, the Messiah. And he tells them that they can expect the Messiah to be completely different, that he won't bring disappointment. And this is what he says. First of all, This Messiah will bring about the right decisions. You see, it says a king who will reign wisely. And this really means that he will make the right decisions. Jeremiah promises that the Messiah won't disappoint with his decisions. I don't know about you guys, but there have been moments in this past year where I really have been disappointed with leadership. Whether it's our federal government or our provincial government or even leaders around me, I've been disappointed with the decisions they make. And I try to be gracious because it's difficult being a leader. But we become disappointed with leaders at times, with the decisions they make. And maybe you've been disappointed. Maybe even with me as a leader. We all have disappointments with the decisions that leaders make. Jeremiah is saying that this Messiah is not going to be like Jehoiakim. He's not even going to be like the good kings. He's going to be a leader who brings decisions that we won't be disappointed in. He can be trusted. I'll never forget when I first got into ministry. I remember we were driving up. This was in my last semester of Bible college. We were driving up to Pembroke. I had never been to Pembroke in my life, but I was going to speak a youth retreat. And as we're driving up, we were talking about the potential of pastoring in this church. You see, the pastor of the church that we were doing the retreat for was looking for a youth pastor, and we would be interviewed on the Sunday. And so we're trying to get our heads around the retreat and what God wants to do in the students' lives, but we're thinking about the reality of being the youth pastor in Pembroke. Now, guys, if you've ever been to Pembroke, it's in the middle of nowhere. And I mean, it's farmland. They call it a city, but at that point it was 13,200. It was the smallest city, official city in Canada. And we got there. And I think one of the things that made me know that I was in a foreign land was when I passed by the high school and there were snowmobiles in the front. The students had driven their snowmobiles to school. And I just like, man, this is foreign land to me. I was raised in Toronto, born in Toronto, raised in cities such as Toronto, Kingston, Kitchener, Brampton, Montreal, lived in Oshawa, and now I'm in Pembroke. We had the interview, and that night I preached the service, and the board came to the pastor and said they unanimously wanted us to come. And the pastor said, hey, we'd like for you to extend the call for you to come and be our youth pastor. As Ainsley and I were driving home, we knew, we had been talking all weekend, that God, the King, had called us to Pembroke, that we would be leaving the Durham region and we would be moving up to Pembroke. And so we were very confident that this was his decision for our lives. We got there, and I got to tell you, I felt like a fish out of water. I get to the lights, and there was somebody on the other side who was going to be going straight through, and I was turning, and they would wait to allow me to turn because they just wanted to be nice. They weren't in any rush. I remember dropping off the U-Haul truck, and I remember having to wait because the person in front of me is having this long conversation. Well, your cousin Jack and sister Sally, and I mean, just everybody knew everybody, and I felt like I was in a foreign land. I was there for 4 years, and I got to tell you, over and over again, I asked God, did you make the right decision? Did you make, like, come on, God. Like, this is a slower pace. I'm completely removed from the metropolitan feel. I mean, there's times I feel like I'm frustrating the people because I'm go, 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 and they're just very laid back in their approach to things. And I just kept saying, God, are you making the right decision? Or have you made the right decision? Have you made the right decision? When I got to the end of the 4 years, I reflected upon what God had done in our lives in those 4 years there. Ames and I got closer in our marriage because we were isolated from all our family in the GTA. It was a huge win for us. I was given opportunities in this setting under my pastor that most of my friends who were in ministry just didn't have. And even in some of the challenges that we faced in that church, I found myself growing as a leader. And I got to the end of the 4 years, and despite all the times I asked God whether or not he had made the right decision, as I looked back, I knew that he made the right decision. I wasn't disappointed with what he had called us to do, where he decided to send us. And I'm reminded of these words in Jeremiah, that this Messiah that we serve, this Messiah who would come, he would be a Messiah who wouldn't disappoint when it came to his decisions. And friends, maybe you are hearing God telling you to do something and you just don't understand it. He's a Messiah who makes the right decisions. You won't be disappointed with the things he decides for your life. The second thing I see in this passage is a sense of security, that Jeremiah says, and Israel will live in safety. I got to tell you guys, when I first read this passage, I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. I mean, when the Messiah comes, Herod is killing babies. You think about the moment that Jesus gets arrested and all the problems that are surrounding him. I mean, there is chaos, and the Roman Empire is exercising its power, and anybody who doesn't agree with the Roman Empire, I mean, things just don't seem safe. And then I look at this and I do a little bit of a deeper search, and I realize that this word safety isn't what we understand it to be as safety. It actually means security. Security. And what Jeremiah is saying is that this Messiah will bring security to Israel. Security. A sense of security. And what he's saying is, when all of life is coming apart, when things aren't safe, the Messiah will make you feel secure. This is a king who doesn't disappoint. I started to think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you remember the story. His disciples are falling asleep, and finally Jesus comes out, and he's prayed by himself long enough, and there's this large mob that comes, and Jesus is about to get arrested, and there's obviously a sense of a lack of safety, and all of a sudden Peter, in his rambunctious nature, pulls out his sword and he goes for the high priest's servant's ear. Incidentally, probably the weakest person there is who Peter goes for, which completely makes sense. But he pulls out the sword, cuts off the high priest's servant's ear, and Jesus gets a little frustrated with Peter once again, heals the high priest's servant's ear, tells Peter to put the sword away. And there is this calm in Jesus' life. Like this crowd has come to arrest him, and the disciples are all in a panic, and they're rushing out of there. They're fleeing and leaving Jesus alone. But Jesus is calm. They take him and they begin to interrogate him. And what we find is something that was prophesied in Isaiah, that he would be this quiet lamb before the slaughter. And there's this calm, a sense of security in the middle of danger. And while they accuse him, he remains calm and silent. And I see Jesus as being secure in this unsafe situation. He epitomizes what he's trying to bring to the world. That this king, in the middle of everything that's unsafe, will always bring a sense of security. I don't know how you felt in your moments of chaos in life, but for me, every single time I faced a situation where I didn't know the outcome, and I leaned into this Messiah that Jeremiah talked about, there'd be this overwhelming sense of security, even though I didn't know how things were going to turn out. It reminds me of Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. And as Judah is under the terror of the enemy, as they're under the persecution of the enemy, Jeremiah is saying, hey, there's a king coming. There's a king coming who, despite what you'll face, will bring security to you. Other people will promise you security, but they'll disappoint. But this Messiah won't. Friends, if you're going through a difficulty right now, if you're going through something that's chaotic, if you're going through something that makes you feel insecure, lean into this king. He will never disappoint. He brings you security. We get to the last thing in this passage. Not only does this Messiah, this king, bring about the right decisions and a sense of security, but he's also the right representation. It says that this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. You see, Judah had experienced evil rulers, and God's favor was removed. And Judah had experienced godly leaders, and God's favor was there. No matter who was in place, they never knew whether the person representing them would give God's favor. Because the individual who was before them might appear godly, but all it took was that person doing something privately that nobody knew about, and God's favor could be removed. They were never guaranteed that they would be represented perfectly. They would face disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. But Jeremiah says, that there was a Messiah coming who would represent us perfectly before God, a representative who would be our righteous Savior, a representative who would guarantee God's favor over our life. When I was in my fourth year of Bible college, it was my third year of Bible college. I was the class president. And one of my jobs as the class president was to put a team together who would decorate the entire residence at 780 Argyle Street at EPBC. And so my friends used to call me the master delegator because I would just delegate, I'd hand things off and I barely had to do anything. I just let everybody else do it. Don't nod your heads like that. But I would delegate things, and so I had this team, and they were all in charge, and they put this creative approach, and so we had a nativity scene of Mickey Mouse. You know, Joseph and Mary were Mickey Mouse, little baby Jesus was Mickey Mouse, and we had a skier hanging from the ceiling. We blacked out the big window in the lobby with just one star, and we did all these creative elements. Well, we thought it was pretty good. I was pretty impressed with the team. And then the next day, when it was revealed to everybody, I start to hear people angry. You see, we had taken a traditional approach, threw it out the window, and turned it into a very contemporary approach. And people were upset, and especially the people from Newfoundland. I can say that because I got my roots there. But they were just like, this is sacrilegious. How dare he put baby Jesus as Mickey Mouse? And I was even questioning that myself. But there was all kinds of negative comments. But it wasn't just the students. It was the teachers, too. And they were tearing us apart. I mean, this was one of the sharpest classes that ever graduated from EPBC. And yet they were tearing us apart. No, it was. And I didn't really know what to do, but I didn't have to do anything. You see, my faculty advisor was David Kennedy. And I'll never forget, David went into a staff meeting, and all the teachers there, and they were grumbling and complaining about what we had done. And David spoke up on our behalf because he knew us. He said, "You know what, everybody? I got to tell you something. I'm incredibly impressed with this class. You see, they are always trying to present the gospel in creative ways to connect with society. And they are demonstrating that right here at 780 Argyle before they go out into ministry full time. They are showing that we need to take the message and find creative ways to present it and to modernize the approach without changing the message." And he shared a few other things. And in that moment, every teacher stopped complaining. It shut it down because we had the perfect representative who understood us. Well, David was just a man, but who Jeremiah prophesied was about somebody much greater who would be the perfect representative for each and every one of us. You see, he was prophesying about somebody who wouldn't stand before a group of teachers or students, but he would stand before God himself and represent us. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we read, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become righteousness, the righteousness of God in him." The righteousness of God in him. You see, friends, every time God looks at us, he sees Jesus, our representative. He sees the perfect Lamb of God who died on the cross for you and me. And despite the imperfections of our life, we have a representative who stands on our behalf before God, and he never disappoints. And he guarantees God's favor upon our lives, not because of our perfection, but because of Jesus' act on that cross. He was the perfect representation. And maybe today you don't feel like you can come before God. I want to tell you something. Despite what you've done, despite what 2021 has been like in your life, you have the perfect representation in Jesus Christ, who always brings about God's favor for your life. Somebody who never disappoints. Friends, as we look into 2022, we really don't know what the future holds. And we're in the middle of Omicron, and we didn't expect this to happen. We don't know if there's going to be another strain. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what's going to happen in our families. We just don't know. And I'm sure there will be some great victories, and there will be some disappointments along the way. But Jeremiah reminds us that we can turn to our Messiah who never disappoints. This Messiah is one whose decisions we can trust. You can trust God with the decisions he makes for your life. This Messiah is one who provides security. And when you're in a situation in 2022 that feels like it's chaotic and things are out of your control, it may not feel safe, but you can get the security that comes from this Messiah. And lastly, no matter how many times you mess up, and no matter how many times you do something that is displeasing to God, you can come to Jesus, and he forgives you of your sin as we repent before him. And he says, don't worry, I represent you to my Father. And as the Father looks down upon you, he sees Jesus, the perfect representative. You see, friends, this Messiah never disappoints. Let me pray for you today. Jesus, I'm so thankful for Jeremiah's prophecy. I'm thankful in this last passage of Christmas foretold that we hear of a Messiah who doesn't disappoint. Jehoiakim had disappointed. Kings of the past had disappointed. And kings of the future would disappoint Judah. But Jeremiah pointed forward to a day when a Messiah would come on this earth. And we know him as Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you that you're the Messiah who makes decisions on our behalf that are perfect. We may not always understand them, but we know that they're the right decisions. The right decisions. You will reign with righteousness. And today we trust you with the decisions you've made for our life. We know that you're a Messiah who brings about security. That even when things are unsafe, even when we're living in our Roman Empire moments, and we don't understand what to do, we can lean on you, and you bring this overwhelming sense of security. For those who are facing these chaotic times, I pray that they would go to you, the refuge, and they would experience your security. And God, for those maybe who've slipped away, maybe those who've never known you, or those of us who just continue to miss the mark, I pray every time we feel that we just can't please God enough, that we would remember that there is a representative that's been sent on our behalf. His name is Jesus. And he stands before the Father today, and he guarantees our favor with God, because not of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. We thank you that you are the King who never disappoints. May we go into 2022 knowing that we have a Messiah who will never let us down. We thank you for this now. In Jesus' name, amen.
The first Noel the angels did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep. On a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 Noel. Born is a king of Israel. Noel, Noel, Noel. King of Israel. One more time. Noel, 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 Noel. Born is a king of Israel. Noel, 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 Noel. Born is a king.
Well, friends, that's it for our online Boxing Day service. We are so thankful that you joined us today, and we hope to be able to see you next Sunday, January 2nd. We're beginning a brand new series called Forgotten Holiness, and the first message is called The Holiness of God, and we look forward to beginning that series and seeing what God has in store. I want to pray one last prayer over you as we head into 2022. Would you bow your heads one last time? Jesus, thank you so much for those who have joined us today for this service. I pray that you would bless them as they head into 2022. We would be reminded of today's message that you are the King who doesn't disappoint, and that Jesus, we will get ready for an incredible year regardless of what comes our way. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each family, each individual today, and that they would know that you walk with them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great Boxing Day, everyone.